Turn with me to Mark chapter 5, please. Verse 1. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send him out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town in the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you, and now how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. A wonderful story, and I pray the Lord's blessing on this reading. Now, there are those, when they come to stories such as this in the New Testament, and they see these miraculous events, that's just a little bit too hard for our intellectual reasoning minds to grasp. They just totally discount it. And they say that the young Mark embellished the story, that he embellished the story so that it would grab attention and that it would gather your notice, and you would see that Jesus had great power and ability. But more than you would like to think, there are too many that would read a story such as this and say, that's just a little bit too much. Well, I hope you are not among those, because we do believe the Scriptures to be inerrant and infallible. We believe them to be true in all that they teach, and we believe them to be good and right for all matters of faith and practice. So we don't have the leisure to take and choose and pick and evaluate Scripture as to being truthful or not. Rather, we are in subject to it, but not to it, the written word, but to the Holy Spirit and His teaching. And so I pray, as we come to this passage, yes, we acknowledge it to be fantastic, almost beyond belief, but yet it is recorded, and so we say, yes, we believe this. This is a true story, and it is a true story about Jesus and his removing of the demons from this man, which reveals to us his power and authority over all things, including the demonic forces, the minions of Satan. Just as in chapter 1, if you remember back, in chapter 1, Jesus cast out the demon. when the gentleman came to him in the synagogue. This shows another evidence of the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. It is another evidence of the kingdom of God in its manifestation here on earth. Because you must understand, and many of you can give testimony to this, where the kingdom of God reveals its presence, more particularly, where Jesus Christ reveals his presence, people's lives are changed. You cannot be confronted with Jesus Christ and remain neutral. You will either be changed and affected and drawn near him, or you will be repulsed by him. In our story, Jesus confronts this demon-possessed man. A man the townspeople tried to contain, but due to this superhuman strength of the demonic forces, nothing would work. Chains, leg irons, he escaped. So rightly so, the people were afraid of this man. Him screaming out at night in torment. Can you imagine? And after a brief encounter here, Jesus asks him his name. He says his name is Legion because we are many. There were many demons that possessed this man, and the name Legion was given to him. But please notice how the demons responded to Jesus Christ. Notice the title that they acknowledged, used to acknowledge him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" As James writes in his book, even the demons believe that there is one God. And as James writes, they shudder. They are afraid. Here we have evidence that the demons recognize that Jesus is in fact Lord over all creation. Isn't it funny though? Maybe not too funny. Funny, strange, maybe. That here are the enemies of God. Here are those who are in direct conflict with him, know him well, and they fear him. Yet we, many of us who are his children, many of us who call on his name, do not have the same capacity of fear and respect for the Lord Almighty. But then the demons do something that's very telling about this story. Look with me at verse 9, and I'll read through 13. Jesus asked his name. "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many," and he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. "A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, 'Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them.' He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs, about 2,000 in number." Why did the demons beg to go into the pigs? Why did the demons say earlier, "Please do not send us out of this area"? Why? Well, you see, the demons here are scared and are really, really afraid because they know that the Lord Jesus is God Almighty. And they know that one day, Satan and all of his minions will be cast into the abyss and will be forever tortured and will be forever contained in that abyss, never more to be able to roam freely. The demons thought that time had come. In Revelation chapter 20, we read, "The devil who deceived them was thrown into a lake of burning sulfur where the beast and the false prophets had been thrown. There they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." You see, the demons thought that day had come. Here they see Jesus the Most High. "Please don't send us away," because they thought their end had come. "Send us into the pigs." Well, that wasn't a wise move. They begged to go into the pigs, and Jesus gave them their request. And then we know the story. The pigs ran down the hill, down the cliffs, into the sea and drowned. Now, at this point, we don't know what happened to the evil spirits. They, being spirits, cannot be killed, so they are not dead, but they are not in the area. So Jesus did, in fact, cast them out. But this brings up many questions. There's much we don't know about demons. There's too much to say. We don't know about demons and demon work. There are those people who study these things intently and try to understand and discover all they can about this kind of demonic activity. And then there are those who just very flippantly regard this whole story, as I said, and either deny it totally or unaffected or not fazed by it. And so, yes, there is a lot we do not know about demonic forces. That does not mean they're not real. That does not mean they're not powerful. That does not mean they're not at work always. But there is one thing we do know. There is one thing this story shows us clearly that we do know, and that is that Jesus has authority over them, and at his discretion, he can manipulate, cast them out, send them into the abyss at any point with any desire he might have. So I guess the next question would be immediately, why are they allowed to roam around? Why are they allowed to do the things they do? Why would not God remove them entirely and make our lives so much easier, make his work so much easier? Well, now we've asked a question we can't answer. Because we do know that Satan is very much at work. His minions are very much at work. But the thing we rest in, the thing we know for sure, is that they cannot do one thing without God first allowing. Go back and read the first and second chapters of Job. Now that does bring on many questions, but please rely on the thing we know, that Jesus Christ has authority over all created things. Now, let's turn our attention to the people. Now, the people seeing this great commotion of the casting out of demons, that had to be a tremendous sight. Seeing the demons going into the pigs, hearing that squealing and that awful sound, seeing this great commotion, the people ran away, went into town. You know, they were running away and telling on Jesus, it seems. And then they come back and beg him to leave. Why did they beg him to leave? When the townspeople returned and they're begging Jesus to leave, they see this once demon-possessed man. If they've not seen the man before, they've heard the stories of the man. And so now they see the man here sitting peacefully, quietly with Jesus. It had to be a tremendous sight. The man's still scarred, but now he has clothes, sitting there peacefully. And the people are afraid. The people are afraid. Why are they afraid? Well, I believe they are afraid. Well, two reasons. One, many of us, when we don't understand the things of the church, or when we don't understand the amazing work of Jesus Christ, when we don't understand the amazing work of God, we tend to be afraid or deny it. But also what happened here was that the lifestyle of these people was changed, was affected. Here are the people's way of living, their income, their livelihood, rushing down a hill into the lake, drowned. It seems as though they're more concerned with the destruction of their livelihood than with the amazing, miraculous work of Jesus Christ. One commentator writes, "How often, even in our own day and age, has not this incident been repeated? People are eager to listen to the story of Jesus and his love, just so the gospel's implications for daily life and conduct are not emphasized. For that would be too upsetting." This is just like many today. We want to hear Jesus and his love stories. We want to hear Jesus and love everybody. And we want to hear Jesus and how he cares for you. And we want to hear Jesus and how he's, you know, there. If he needs you, he will help you through your dark, you know, all of this. But when the gospel in its fullness is presented, we may not want all of that. As I said earlier, when you are encountered with Jesus Christ, change occurs. Lives are changed. We want the blessings of Jesus, but don't ask me to give up my lifestyle. We want his love and compassion, but don't ask me to lose my or leave my home. Don't ask me to change jobs and move to another area for a ministry purpose. Don't ask me to move away from my family. That is too much. How many people have denied the work of the ministry because they didn't want to leave their family? We are more concerned with the pigs than we are with the will of our Lord. Jesus had done an unbelievable thing for this man, yet there was one request he did deny. This man wanted to go with Jesus. He had done a tremendous thing for him, and he wanted to go. He wanted to be near him. He wanted more. But Jesus said, no, no. What did he tell the man to do? Go home. Go back to your family. Go back to your region. Go back to the countryside, Decapolis. That's a metropolitan term, meaning go tell all the cities in this area what he has done for you. Jesus had done an unbelievable thing, and he told him, tell them how much the Lord has done for you. You think this man had a story? You think this man had a story? You think this man got people's attention when he walked back into town? This man walks back into town, he goes and sits at the local bar, orders a drink, and one of two things are going to happen. Everybody's going to leave, or they're going to come and say, ain't you the guy that lived out yonder in them tombs? Yeah, that's me. What? And what a story he has to tell. This is the Lord's instruction for each of us. This is the Lord's instruction for each of us. Tell them, whoever them is, tell them how much the Lord has done for you. All this man had to do was go back into town, sit down, and he would draw a crowd. And he had to tell his story. And this is what Jesus wants from us. Now, as I said, we may have major implications in our lives where God has worked wonderfully and our story is fantastic. You know, those are the ones we hear on the radio. Those are the ones we see on TV. Those are the ones people write books about. But there's multiple times over that, the little stories where Jesus works every day. And those stories are just as important and just as vital. Your story. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you. Tell them how he sustained you while you were without a job. Tell them how he lifted you out of depression and set you free. Tell them how he saved your marriage when you thought all was gone. Tell them how he rescued you from the bondage caused by the events of your younger days. Tell the people how he carries us through the toughest days of our lives and is presently carrying us through. Tell them how he sets you free with the truth. So many in this room, when they learned the truth, the shackles fell off, just like this man. The shackles fell off. Tell the people around you. Tell them how he guides and protects your children when you can't get through them with a baseball bat, but yet God is there guiding and protecting and leading them on. Tell them how he answers prayer when you persevered and you prayed and you prayed and you pray and the prayer's answered. Tell them the story. Tell them the story about you and Jesus Christ and what the Holy Spirit has done. because there's too many good stories in this room to let it pass. This is our charge. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you. And remember the words of Matthew 10:19. In Matthew 10, Jesus said, "Do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given the words to say." What a wonderful story we have to tell, because we know who Jesus Christ is. So tell that story. But wait, I have a question. Which of these in this story is you? Are you like the townspeople? You see something of Jesus Christ and you run away. My mama always told me, the light is so bright that if you're not accustomed to the light, you are repulsed by it. You can't stand it. The townspeople saw the light, a tremendous light, and it scared them. Are we like the townspeople and we run away? Or are we like the demon-possessed man who recognizes the sin, runs to Jesus Christ, and said, "I want to go. I want to go." Which are you?